Today, I'm going to cover a subject which you may have heard me speak on before, but I think it's so important that it's worth speaking on regularly. And my title is Chesed, a word for love stronger than any other. And what I'm going to say today is at the core of God's being is in an extraordinary kind of committed love. If we can grasp the truth of this kind of love, we will feel a deep security and joy. And the Hebrew word for this is chesed. And I'm using this word because there's not really an English equivalent. I'll talk in a minute about the closest that we can get. And as we've been reading through Genesis, you may have noticed there's lots of bad stuff there. Like, it can be kind of a bit depressing. All of these bad stories about things that happen, like, how do I get something from this? And I'm bringing this today because I think this is the corrective. Actually, we have a God who's willing to love us in such messiness. And part of the reason for all that messiness in Genesis is because God is showing he can break through that and show his love. One of the things we see in the Bible is that God hasn't like cataloged all the doctrines in sections and subsections. God has actually decided to reveal to us his truth through stories. And in these stories, we say that humankind constantly fails. And so how can God have a relationship with these people that are constantly failing? And so the stories, I think that we should frame these stories as God is loving very broken people. And the word that underlies all of this love in the broken context is chesed. So what does chesed mean? Well, I'm going to take Psalm 103 as an example. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his chesed towards those who fear him. What does it mean? Well, I'm going to say it is the most beautiful word in any language, and it means a faithful love, a loyal love, a love that will never let you go. Now, just different translations will use different words for this. The Old King James uses loving kindness. They made up a kind of composite word for it. Other translations say faithful love or something like that, which kind of capture it because it's two things. It's the love, but it's like, I will never let you go from this. And that's why I use a whole phrase to translate it. I say chesed is a love that will never let you go. And this is core to God's revelation of himself. So this word is 247 times in the Old Testament. And of those times, more than half of them, 127 of them, are found in the Psalms. And so the way that you pronounce it, it's not chesed, there's a hard C. Chesed. Can you try saying that with me? Chesed. Again, chesed. Okay, it's not in English, we don't have that hard C, but a lot of you have other languages, your first language, and you can probably say that without any trouble. But so that is the word that we're going to be looking at. So another example from the life of Jacob. So Jacob deceives his brother, has to run away, run for his life. On the run, God appears to him in a vision with the ladder that Anne mentioned earlier and says, behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Now, that isn't chesed, but that's the word that leads up to it. And then 20 years later, Jacob says, I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of chesed and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. And this is, he goes back to that very same place and says this, God, you have done this and it's been chesed that you've shown all of this time. And near the end of life, he says, let us go to Bethel that I may make an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me. Wow, this is the God who's just been with him like a rock. He's just totally with him. And I want you to take in these words for yourself. Jacob, and the whole point is that Jacob was a very flawed individual. And the flaws are revealed in ways that we can identify with them. And if you trust Jesus, then this is your God. And if you can take in this idea, even in this life of Jacob right now, then I've done my job for today. If you can listen to these words and say, yes, I can receive this chesed for God, where he says, I will be with you whatever you are doing. I will never let you go. That is the God that I want us to take. And the amazing thing is the requirement was not be good enough and I'll love you, but simply trust that I'm with you. That's all that he had to do, was to trust that with you. So what I'd like to do then, to start with, I'd like to say, summarize what chesed is and what it's not. Then I'd like to look at some other stories in the Old Testament of chesed, and then I'd like to look at our experience. Fundamental human need is to know someone is there for you. Some of the best research that has been done on marriage, there's a book called Hold Me Tight, which is saying what people are looking for in marriage. When you analyze everything, is this person going to be there for me when I really need them? Is this a person who will be there? Whatever happens, I know they will be there for me. And underlying all concerns and worries and fights in marriage, there might be that. So people might fight, well, you were late, you said you'd be there on time and you were late. But underneath that is like, will you be late if I'm really desperate? Are you really going to be there for me? Are you there? And so this is a fundamental human need. We're wired for this. We're wired for someone who will never let us go, no matter how hard it gets. Someone who we belong, we're safe, we're secure. When I was a teenager, one of my favorite love songs was, you're pretty old if you recognize this, if the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. When mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me. Like, that's it. That's chesed. That's Led Zeppelin, if none of you recognize that. That was before I even met her, that's right. But, you know, that's it. That's the love that we want. But, you know, even if this world falls apart, you would still love me. That's what we want. That's what we need. That's what God has wired us for. So another example is that this faithful love is Jacob made them promise not to bury him in Egypt when he died, but to take his bones back to the promised land. And he said, promise this chesed to me. In other words, like, I'm not going to be around. I want you to be just so faithful that you're going to do this for me. But the best, it's a love that never gives up, but hangs on to the very end. A loyal love that will not betray us. A love that we can count on, that will never let us down, even when we have nothing to give in return. That's what chesed is. What is chesed not? And there's some places in the Bible where God is kind of almost funny the way that God describes it. God is describing the opposite, and he's talking to the two biggest tribes in Israel. He says, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your chesed is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Like, it's like a parody of chesed. It's the opposite. You know, it's like that mist that's gone as soon as the day goes up. What is it? What is it here that you're doing? And God is using this word in the opposite sense. Also, I'd like to talk about the difference between chesed, which is this special word, and another word for love, which is agape love. And you may have heard of agape love. Agape is an undeserved giving, like giving a banquet to a homeless person. Somebody doesn't deserve anything, and you give a banquet to them. Whereas chesed is a relationship. So showing agape to somebody is just like giving them something they don't deserve, just really being generous. But chesed is taking them home for the rest of their lives. You know, that's a completely different thing. So I'm going to be with you. Whatever happens, no matter you, if you turn against me, if you rob me, I'm still going to be with you. There's nothing you can do to break that. Wow, it's kind of rare in human relationships because it's so costly. But when God promised to love the world, when God said, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that's agape. But when God loves each of those of us who put our trust in him and he promises to be with us forever and ever, that is chesed. So there's no word in it in the New Testament Greek, but the closest we get when say Paul is using that word is he talks about being faithful and beloved. And Jesus in Revelation is described as beloved and true. And so this idea of putting these two things, faithfulness, being faithful and reliable, and loving, putting those together is what you have to do in a language that doesn't have this word directly in there. I find this subject just such a joy to preach on, because I can preach it to myself and I'll tell you, I need to hear this, because this is the most joyous message I could preach to you. What else do we need if we really know God's chesed to us? That's what it is and what it isn't. And now I'd like just to go through a few stories in the Old Testament describing it, because that will paint a picture to flesh out what it means. And then we'll end by talking about our experience. So Joseph, in Genesis 39, he's sold by his brothers into slavery. Not much chesed there, is there? Then he's a slave in Egypt, betrayed by his master's wife. Again, he's not shown chesed there. So what happens, he's thrown into prison because he's betrayed. And we read, Joseph's master took him and threw him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And then in the prison, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him chesed. And then this is what it looked like. He granted him favor in the sight of the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners under Joseph's care. He was in charge of whatever they were doing. The warden did not concern himself with anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he was doing, the Lord was making him successful. So this is what chesed looked like. It was God with him. And we know that Joseph rose to being the second greatest in Egypt. Another one that there's lots of examples is David's story. And David particularly described chesed when there's problems in his life. And this is when we particularly become aware of the need for chesed. And we see David's story as he tells it in his songs. And his story is a story of chesed. So I'm going to go through a few of them. In Psalm 59, he talks about when Saul tried to ambush him when he was on the run. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men. My God in his chesed will meet me. God will let me look in triumph on my enemies. I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your chesed in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me chesed. So this is just a beautiful description. And God loves it when we praise him for his chesed. He doesn't, it's something that he takes joy in, that aspect of who he is being declared forth. And in our song, and also in our conversations with one another. Here's another story when he was betrayed by Doeg, who he thought was a friend, turned out to be a traitor. Song of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David's gone to the house of Abimelech. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The chesed of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the chesed of God forever and ever. What's interesting about this is making a contrast between trusting in chesed and what are the other two things that you could trust in that he's saying you won't? Riches, that's right, riches and refuge in a place that turned out to be not refuge at all, a place that ended up by being destruction. So not making God his refuge. So here is David's experience with Zoeg, and then he's in the desert, he's being hunted down. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, is as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your chesed is better than life, my lips will praise you. Can you get that? Can you take that in? Can you resonate that? I suggest with you, if you've had no problems ever in your life, life has just been beautiful and smooth, you probably won't get this. But if you've got some challenges now, or you've had some challenges in the past, you can probably resonate with this, that, yeah, to know that God, the eternal God, has set his love on me so intensely that he will never let me go. Yeah, I can resonate with that. That's really good. Finally, David had rest. This is Psalm 18. The Psalms are not in chronological order. They're in a thematic order, but this is the time that tells us he had rest from his enemies. A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. And then he ends the psalm. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows chesed to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. The story doesn't end there because David has an opportunity of showing chesed to others. After he became king, we read in 2 Samuel 9, David said, is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him chesed for Jonathan's sake? And it turns out that it says, end of verse 2, Ziba said to the king, there is a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet. When his father died, his nurse ran. She was scared. She picked the baby up and she ran. She fell. The baby fell and somehow both his legs got damaged and this little baby grew up crippled. And this is this crippled man. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you chesed for the house of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of your father, and you shall eat at my table always. That is a chesed. He'd actually bring him into his home, and he would be there for all his life. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. I'll just tell you a personal story. When I was small, my grandparents had a farm, and we used to go there quite often to the farm, and we would play in the hay in their barn. And we found this a cat that lived in the barn had kittens, a little nest of kittens. We found these wonderful little kittens, and they were very friendly, and we played with them. But one of them had somehow had an accident with some farm machinery or something. Both of its back feet were half cut off. And it healed over, but it kind of could only hobble along. But it was so friendly. It was like so affectionate. So we said to our parents, could we keep it? And they said, yeah, we'll take it home. So we took this cat home. What did we call it? Mephibosheth. Because my dad was called David and he'd adopted it. We called it Methy for short. And we, for many, many years, Methy was our dear cat. And so growing up, I knew the story very well, because every time he played with his cat, we're reminded. But this is chesed. And David received it, and now he was showing chesed to this poor, crippled man. Not just saying, I'm going to give you all sorts of stuff. He says, you are going to eat at my table for the rest of your life. This is amazing. This then is a revelation of a new kind of love, and I've given you these stories. And now I want to talk about our personal experience of chesed. Well, we reflect on the nature of God when we love others like this. And I think that part of how we respond to this is we show this to others in our lives. But also to praise him. And God loves to be praised for chesed. God loves it when, with that particular characteristic we pick out when we praise him. I mean, he loves to be praised for his power and his strength and his love and so on, but chesed is particular. And the Psalms were vocal and they were public. They were proclamations. And so David would write the story and he would make it known to everybody through the Psalm. And so it's good to actually make known what God has done. And I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, but I was driving to here to church, and Anne was with me and Ash was with me. And as we were driving on the street, a car just pulled out right in front of us, slammed the brakes on and pulled up onto the curb and just missed this car. And he stopped as well. And wow, I don't know how we missed it. But what was my first thought? Thank you, God. Thank you that you saved me from an accident there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I praise you. And I'm telling you now, and what I'm doing now, I'm declaring God was faithful to me and God brought me here. And of course, sometimes we do have accidents, but you know, we praise God for whenever he keeps us, when he does things for us. And I can tell you, I've done some pretty stupid things in the past. And there are times when I've done some really stupid things and God has preserved me and I haven't had to bear the consequences, which could have been quite bad for that stupidity. And so I want to declare God's chesed in my life. In Psalm 136, it said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His chesed endures forever. In fact, you read Psalm 136, every single line ends with his chesed endures forever. It says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, for his chesed endures forever. Da-da-da-da, for his chesed endures forever. The entire Psalm 136 is a psalm dedicated to God's chesed. And it's the best news that we can have, I believe. And we need to emphasize that chesed is at the very core of God's being and something he takes delight in. And we should be willing to take delight in that, in telling about that. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my chesed shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Do those words sound good to you? Can you take those in? Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they just so life-giving as words? So I argue then, it's the best news we can possibly have. David in Psalm 51, he says how he'd sinned with murder and adultery. And this is his psalm of repentance. What does he say as he's repenting? He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your chesed, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. So this love isn't just being with you, but it's being with you in your sin and your messiness, in his murder and adultery. He appealed to God's chesed. And this is what we need, isn't it? And so when you're reading Genesis and you see this messiness, understand that it's God that you reflect on, not the humans, when you're looking for what can I get from these verses to speak into my life. It's based on a covenant with God. He offers this to us, Isaiah 55, 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my unfailing chesed for David. This is the promise of the gospel. And if you're not a follower of Jesus right now, this is an offer to you. It says, come to me, come. And what this really means is follow me and make me your God, and I will give you this chesed. I will give you this kind of love for all of your life. And this is the love of Jesus that he's offering to us, that come to him and he will never let you go. He says, none shall pluck them from my hand. One thing I want to say before I close, and that is that you may have heard of some concepts about improving your mental health. They're about kind of letting go and saying, you know, you've got to just let go of your attachments, because attachments are the source of our problem. And there's some kind of spiritual mental health cures involve letting go, just letting go of the people in your life that you're worried about. Just don't worry about them anymore. And they say that attachment is at the root of all of our problems. And I'm not here trying to have an attack on Buddhism, but this is simply to draw attention to it being the polar opposite to Christianity. And the story is that when Gautama Buddha was seeking enlightenment, and it was in the night, he suddenly realized that he was overly concerned about his wife and his newborn son. And Buddhist scholars are unsure whether the son was born yet or whether it was about to be born. But anyway, he decided that the best thing he could do to achieve enlightenment was just to let them go. Just to let them go and to walk off. And he disappeared for 6 years. They didn't see him for 6 years. And he'd achieved enlightenment because he could just let go of these attachments that were weighing on him. Now, the scholars will point out that they were a wealthy family, so actually, you know, they would be looked after. He wasn't leaving them to poverty. And he was leaving other things as well, but it was the attachment. And the idea in Buddhist thought is attachment is at the root of our problems. And if you can let go of attachment, then you can achieve enlightenment. And this is the concept that is behind the teaching. But I would say that God's attachment is a very part of his very being. I would say God can value chesed because he is three in one. And relationship is part of who he is. And the chesed that we receive is actually related to that which exists between Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's because he is three in one. And at his very core, God is relationship. That when he says, come and be with me, and the words in John 17, quite extraordinary, Jesus says, you know, as the Father, as we are one, so you will be one with us. And like, we will come and be with you. And like drawing us into that attachment. And so I would say that the Buddhist ideas and the revelation of God in the Trinity are the very opposite of the spectrum here. And when we see attachment can cause all sorts of problems. But the answer isn't, oh, you just let go of them. The answer is, you trust in the one who will never let you go. And then you will not have to worry about attachments. And so this is my conclusion today. And I just want to conclude with a prayer that we will receive this, but also a story of a friend who was on the pathway to becoming a Christian, and she was reading the Bible and she discovered some of these ideas, and she said, wow, if God promises to love you like this and he is the most powerful being in the universe, what else do you have to worry about? Wow, what a great proclamation of the gospel. She wasn't far from the kingdom of heaven. And I want to just end by saying, the real problem here is, do we really allow this truth to be part of us? And if we do, this is the answer to our worries, to our stresses, to our concerns, The problem that we have is, do we really trust this is true? Is really God really going to love us like this? And so I'm going to pray now, right now, that all of us have this truth written deeply in our hearts, and maybe the worship team can come up and we can lead us in our closing song. Heavenly Father, I cry to you for all of us gathered here today, that we would really be able to take in the wonder of this truth of your chesed love for us, and we will feel the security of a love that will never let us go. We will feel your arms wrapped around us, your promises to be with us, and the joy of knowing this union with you that is for eternity. And Lord, we pray for this lost world. And we pray, Lord, that we have an opportunity to spread the glorious truth of this chesed to a world that so desperately needs it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.